Thank you for the privilege to be here. We thank you, O God, for this gathering tonight. Thank you because our eyes see once again as they should. Thank you because our ears hear. Thank you because our hearts are receptive, well positioned and aligned to receive. Thank you, O God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you because our eyes behold you, Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you because by your Spirit, you open our eyes to see your Son, Jesus. Thank you, O God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, you can have your seat. Amen, amen. Okay, so Isaiah 50, verse 4 and 5. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 and 5. Praise God. Okay, so we're having a healing service on Sunday. And like I wanted to do on Sunday, but for time, which is to prepare us, prepare our hearts, and get us ready, amen, for the healing service. And it's important, okay? Well, not just because it's a healing service, yes, but obviously because it's a healing service, but not just because it's a healing service. But there is a way, I mean, we've said it here and there in preparing for special meetings or maybe our weekly services, and all that. There's a way to show up in church, all right? There's a way to condition your heart. There's a way to get ready to meet with God or to receive from God. Amen. And it's important that we all play our roles, play our part. Amen? It's a very crucial thing. In Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 and 5, he says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened morning by morning, he wakened my ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God had opened my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Okay, so from here we can begin to see that what God does is to awaken the ears of a man, or to open the ears to be able to receive from God. Of course, you know that God communicates to man by words. Yes, there are encounters, experiences, appearances, demonstrations, and so on and so forth. But God communicates a lot to man by words. Of course, we have a Bible, amen? And that's evidence that God speaks to men. God communicates to us by words, and therefore our ears must be open to be able to receive what God is saying. Okay? And if you observe, it started by saying the tongue of the learned. But the truth is, if I can hear as the learned, then I will be able to speak as the learned. Amen? Amen? If I can receive the words as the learned, I'll be able to speak as the learned. James 1:19, wherefore my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In other words, your hearing controls your speech and your conduct or your actions. You know, so That's important. We can go on and on to see how hearing is important. Romans 10:17. So then faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by the preaching of Christ. Okay, so important to faith, putting faith in the gospel of Christ, is hearing. So hearing controls a lot. I mean, if you look at that chapter, Romans 10, it had started in verse 9 to say, how does it go again? If you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 was coming to my mind. Then verse 10 says, for with the heart man believeth in righteousness, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they believe in him? How shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? Shall they believe of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. So, crucial to the receiving of the gospel is hearing. Okay? So, it is hearing first before what we see in Romans 10 and 9. If you confess your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, that shall be saved. But if there is no hearing or proper hearing, that will not be possible, even when the gospel is preached. Praise God. So, hearing is important and crucial to receiving from God. A man's ears must be open to receive from God. It must be at all times. Okay? And you know that when we say hearing, it goes a little beyond having the faculty of hearing to just receive words. It goes beyond it a little. I mean, it also touches how you are receiving what you are hearing. Amen? You know, you can talk to someone and say, please, go help me bring a Bible. And the person is looking at you. All right? Or you walk into a restaurant, you want to buy something, and say, please, can I have one bread? And the person is looking at you. Not because the person cannot hear, right? But that, or those words coming out of you, are not being received. Amen? Received as they should be. So when we speak of hearing, it goes beyond, I have the physical or natural faculty to hear the words that are coming forth, but a heart that is in readiness to receive it. Amen? A heart that is in readiness to receive it. Proverbs 4 and from verse 20 to 23, my son, attend to my words. You see the words used, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. So pay attention to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. It says, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen? Okay? So, the truth is, good hearing is only well established when the mind and the heart. Are well established. How do I make this not too long? Okay, I wanted to say, are well established in truth and therefore able to receive appropriately. Well, you could just write, when the mind and the heart are rightly involved. You know, that says it briefly and then summarizes everything we have to say. Okay, so not just that I have ears that can hear words, but that my mind and my heart are involved in the hearing. Praise God. My mind and my heart are involved in the hearing. And that's when, okay, a man is able to receive. So it's important to always, always pay attention to words. Okay? And I mean, if you practically look at it, you cannot pay attention to words if your mind and your heart are not involved or are not in the right place. So I'm telling myself that what is being said or spoken now, I must listen. Okay? So that comes from within that puts your attention on the words that are coming towards you. Amen, amen? It's fundamental to the faith and, very crucial. So in receiving from God, I must ensure that my ears are open. My ears being open means that my mind and my heart are ready. Okay? I am in readiness to receive. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, we'll later talk about where that makes a whole lot of sense. Because, you know, when we come together, yes, as men born of God, we can hear God speak to us individually, right? We can hear God from within. But you know, a lot of time when we come together like this, God speaks through people. Amen? God speaks through people. And therefore, I will be attentive. Attentive. I will regard those he's using as his vessels. That is, their words are God's words. So I'll pay attention. Let's leave that and move on. So in Genesis chapter 28, are you here? Genesis 28 and verse 16. Of course, you know the story. Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Aran and then lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. That's verse 11, because the sun was... So he laid down, then he dreamed, and then the ladder that was set upon earth and the top reached heaven, and then angels ascending and descending. And all of that... Then, let's jump to 16. And Jacob awaked. Was he awakened? Out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Of course, if you look at the verbiage or the language, we can say that at least when he woke up, he did not say the Lord was here. The Lord is in this place, right? But the experience he was meant to have, he didn't have it as per timing and opportunity. So, he was asleep. Then when he woke from sleep, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Okay? So, we can say from that statement that it was until he woke up that he realized. Praise God. It was until he woke up that he realized. So, we can apply this scripture to say that it is possible to be in a place and God is present. You know, we can talk about the presence of God as in where we know his person is. But we can also talk about the presence of God from the position of activities. Amen? Activities. So things are happening by the Spirit of God. God is orchestrating events, activities. So we know he's present there. So it's possible to be asleep to the activities of God and then later wake up and realize that, oh, God is here and I did not know it. Are you following this? Let's make it more practical. The service starts by 5 p.m. and then activities are ongoing. Then someone wakes up by 6 p.m. and saying, God is in this place and I knew it not. Amen. So God had been present since 5. I just woke up to that reality. Are you following this? I just woke up to the fact that, hey, God is here. God is here. His presence is here. There are supernatural activities and occurrences ongoing. Genesis 32. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 26. Amen, amen. Okay. Genesis 32, right? 26. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. Of course, you can maybe read from 23, or, I mean, from the beginning of the chapter. Okay? Verse 1, Genesis 32 says that Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met with him. Okay? So, a series of events. Then, in 26, he said, let me go. Okay? For the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Of course, you know, the first here will not be Jacob, right? And then the second will be him, right? Are you here? So he recognized what was ongoing and then participated actively. Participated actively. I know that you have the capacity or the capability to bless me, and therefore, I will be involved. I will do what I need to do to receive that which I need. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. So, the attitude of one who recognizes God's presence and supernatural activities should be like that of Jacob here in Genesis 32 and 26. I know what I want to receive, and therefore, I'll be attentive, I'll participate, and endeavor to receive that which I require. Amen. So, there is an active position that you must take. Haven't heard, haven't seen or recognized that God is present and supernatural activities are taking place, and you are able to, I mean, you've been able to recognize that God is in this place, then you have a role to play. You have an active role to play. Genesis 32:26 is not passive. I will not let thee go until you bless me. Praise God. What about 2 Kings chapter 1 into chapter 2? Elijah and Elisha. Of course, we know from 1 Kings 19, God had spoken to Elijah, to anoint Elijah, right, in his stead. 2 Kings chapter 2. And then Elijah was to be taken up into heaven. So he was to leave. Even though God had spoken in 1 Kings 19, Elisha had to actively participate to receive what God designed for him to receive. Does that make sense? A lot of times, we feel like because God is willing, powerful, able, faithful, he will play our part with his part. Amen? Because he is willing, then he will just heal everybody without faith. Because he is willing and powerful, what we desire will just fall on our laps. On a silver platter. Now, I'm not saying there's a sacrifice, there's a ritual, okay, that you must do to enter into certain dimensions and portals, alright, that you now touch a button that God will say, I have to release this thing. But there's a role that you and I have to play. So from the lesson of Elisha, even though God had instructed Elijah to anoint Elisha in his stead, Elisha followed till he got what God told Elijah to do. Elisha followed Elijah till Elisha got what God had instructed Elijah to do. Stay here. God has sent me to this place. No, I'm not staying back. I will keep following. And then that happened like 3 times thereabout. And then, okay, what is it that you want? Elijah asked Elisha. Say, a double portion of thy spirit. And that was a hard thing. But if you see me leave, amen. Responsibility, active participation. If you see me leave, then it shall be yours. And then interestingly, by the time he was to leave, a chariot of fire firstly separated Elijah and Elisha. And that was an easy moment to be distracted or to be satisfied. Yay! Chariot of fire. Oh, glory. Oh, and then that's it. Separated. As there was a separation, a whirlwind came and took Elijah away. And Elisha noticed. Elisha saw it. He saw Elijah taking off. And then he was able to go take the mantle and then began to walk in the steps of Elijah. Amen? I mean, think about it. When they were going, Elijah parted Jordan with his mantle. When Elijah had been taken up and Elisha was to return, by the same mantle, Elisha parted the same river to be able to pass. I hope you believe these are not fables, tales by moonlight. He received and was able to do as Elisha did. Glory to God. How? By active participation. Amen? You are in a meeting, you want to receive, something falls at the back, you are watching. What is that? Is it pencil? Is it biro? Is it razor? And you want to receive. Is it distraction? Your phone vibrates, you are checking. Is it alert? In service. And God wants to, you are checking. Okay, it's not alert. You put it back. Is it urgent message? Feeling important. Okay, it's not. Put it back. In the meeting. Okay. Let's picture it like Jacob. I will not let you go until you bless me. Ah! Then you do like this. Angel will go now. And I remove your hand. Just say, ah, angel is in law. By that, he's gone. Why now? Come back. Are you there? So, attentiveness, active participation is important. In 2 Kings chapter 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, from verse 1 to 19, I believe you know the story. Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, this man was a great man. 2 Kings 5, from verse 1 to 19. Was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife, and she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his prophecy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus saith, or said, the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter and all of that. And then he sent the letter. By the time he got to the king of Israel, king of Syria, is from what we have read, great power, political power, and taking some captive from Israel and all of that. So by the time the letter came to the king of Israel, he rent his clothes. You see that in verse 7. So why does he want trouble with me? That am I able to cure leprosy? I mean, which one is all of this? And then it was so that when Elisha heard that the king rent his clothes, Elisha now said, let them come over. All right? And then so Naaman came. Now, let's take it from verse 10. And Elisha, are you following this?
Yes,
so Naaman came to the meeting. All right? Yes. Came to Elisha. Right? But Elisha was there, Gehazi was there, Naaman was there, and some of his servants. So, one, two, or three are gathered. Amen? So Naaman came to the meeting to receive. And what did he come to receive? Cure or healing for his leprosy. Now, when he got there and stood at the door of the house of Elisha, verse 9, verse 10, Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and thy flesh shall come again to thee and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, offended, angry, angered, and went away and said, behold, I thought it will surely come out to me. Are you following? First timer. In church. I thought it will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. So he had a perspective of how he'll be healed. A perspective of how he'll be healed. Are not a banner, however it's pronounced, and Pharpa, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? So, some even say Jordan was a bit muddy. Okay? Because it flowed from one particular river to the Dead Sea. It wasn't any great kind of, it wasn't like swimming pool. Okay? So, there were better rivers that the great man and honorable should have been sent to go and wash Jordan. And then he didn't even come out. He sent messenger. He sent an usher to him, say, be healed. Go and do this. He'll say, what? Me? That's partly what, of course, that would imply. Me? The better rivers and all of that. Now, so he turned and went away in rage. Or in a rage. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? If it was more than this, if it was, you know, you will now ride to Egypt. When you get to Egypt, you climb the pyramid. When you climb the pyramid, you will jump 37 times. When you jump 37 times, you come down. As you are coming down, the last three steps, you will miss it and roll. As you roll, you know, you take a bath in the sands of the desert. After that, after taking a bath, you now go to a jacuzzi. And then you shall be healed. You will have done that. This simple thing, just do it. How much rather, that's the concluding part of verse 13, when he said to thee, wash and be clean. If he had said, come with 37 hippopotamus, and then 50 horses, and then 52 lambs, and you will make sacrifices unto the God of Israel morning and night for the next 7 days. On the seventh day, you shall bring priests with seven trumpets who shall blow. I mean, you would have done it for the leprosy. You've been trying to get cured. So, wash and clean. Just do it. So, they spoke to him by wisdom and he did it. And he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan. And according to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused and all of that. And that Naaman departed, but Gehazi followed to receive that which was good. And then, as Gehazi followed, Elisha's spirit followed, or eyes. And you know the rest of the story, Katakata burst and all of that. Amen? So, what do we see here? Noble man, great man, honorable man. He had a perception, a way he expected to be healed, but the healing didn't come that way. And thank God for his servants, he will have left the meeting without a healing. Are you following? He will have left the meeting without a healing. Yeah, I want the man of God to lay hands on me. You know, when he lay hands, great. But the meeting now goes in a particular way that the man of God will not lay hands on you, that it is your brother or your sister by your side that will lay hands on you. Lay hands on you, say, ah, me. Me. A-O me. Is somebody in membership school that is laying hands on me. Me. Amen? Are you there? So, there must be humility in receiving from God, and that has to do with submitting yourself to God's order and pattern and protocol at that time. At that time. So I want the man of God to hold my two hands, you know, and pray for 5 minutes fire into my bones, and I will receive my healing that way. And then the man of God comes and says, we're just going to listen to the choir sing, and as they sing, you take your healing. You're like, ah, just like that? Just like that? You know, or, you know, however. So, from this, we can also learn something, that don't be fixed on a certain way to receive. The truth is, there are different ways that we can receive from God. Everybody in the Bible did not receive the same way. So there are different ways that men received from God and men can receive from God. And I'm not saying so that we can just be mysterious about it. There's a different way he wants to heal you today, and then we start thinking of all kinds of things. And somebody will go and bite the cymbal of the drums and say that's how the healing will come, and then all kinds of things. Somebody will just run under the chair, and then somebody will use their head to hit the wall so that the migraine can go. Different ways. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you could be used to a kind of way, but God can choose to come another way. And when you allow that kind of way to be a hindrance, you will not receive. Amen? That's like being stereotypical. That this is what I know, this one, I don't know it. Maybe, yes, you see ministering healing, and you know that's understandable. Jesus did that a lot by the laying on of hands, or by contact, or by touch, and you were expecting that, and then it was your turn, and then he said, just laugh about it, and that sickness is gone. You're like, ah, I'm not used to this way. And you're like, laugh. And just like he in unbelief, as it were. And so don't be fixed on a certain way. This is how I think I will be healed. This is how I think I will receive. This is how I thought I would be ministered. This is how So being fixed on a certain way may be a hindrance. So your focus should be on God, the God who gives, the God who wants to heal. Your focus should be on His word. His word, what He has said. And perhaps what He is saying at that time. The focus should be His power. That should be your focus. That should be your focus. So like Naaman, if you came to the meeting and you thought that the man of God will come out, he will do all sort of things, and then you feel like, yes, it's time to recover from this leprosy, and then he just sends someone to give an instruction. But if you are paying attention, you will see that God is in the washing. That as you go, you know, as you wash, God is working supernaturally to give you that which you desire, and you are receiving supernaturally as you obey the instructions. Amen? Are you there? So your focus should be God, who gives, who heals. Your focus should be His word, what He has said, what He is saying. Your focus should be His power, His ability to bring to pass that which you desire. His ability to drive the sickness away. His ability to shrink the growth. His ability to cause that infection to pass out. His ability to bring recovery to that body. That should be your focus. Amen? That should be your focus. So, vital, or what is also vital in receiving, in meetings, will be instructions. And I've established that God uses men, so we can say instructions of the minister. Instructions. Amen. I mean, as a minister, I see that a lot here and there. People are, you know, you see all manner of things. You say, let's do so and so. Some will still do otherwise. Let's go in this direction. You still see some people just thinking another direction. Or you see people who say, amen. Let's get this done this way, but they're thinking in another way. Or you say specific instructions that we want to minister to the sick. At this point, if you want to be ministered to for healing, come out. Somebody will still come out. Say, I want to see the power of God in my ministry. Want to minister to the sick now. Sick now. And then, I mean, you find, so instructions are vital. Instructions. There are times where someone will have a pain in the leg, and God will say to tell the person to just stamp their feet and take their healing. You're like, which one is that one? I say, leg is paining me. Yeah, I say, I should stamp it. First of all, take out the pain. Then let me verify. Instructions are very important because instructions carry and convey God's power. Instructions. Like we saw in 2 Kings 5. Go to Jordan and wash. In that instruction was the healing of Naaman. That was how healing power was conveyed to him. He went on and washed, and he was healed. Instructions. Praise God. Instructions. In John chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Put spittle on clay and put it on the man's eyes and told him to go and wash at Siloam. Imagine the man didn't go. Are you in church? Imagine the man didn't go. What will have happened? You're quiet. Or you want to use Agbari explanation? He will still be healed. Imagine he didn't go with clay on his eyes, made hallelujah. Instructions are vital. Okay? So the man went, he washed, and what happened? He came back seeing. Amen? He washed, and he came back seeing. Mark 8. From verse 22, he came to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man to him and besought to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands again upon him and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Okay? So you see how Jesus took him out, ministered to him a certain way, asked him, what do you see? He responded, and then ministered to him again. All right? And then he saw. So following the instructions of the minister is vital, crucial to receiving. Okay? So I must not want to receive a certain way and, you know, any other way, I will not be healed. Is it possible for you to determine how you'll be healed? Yes. Mark 5, right? From verse 25 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood. She said, verse 28, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And that's how she got whole. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And she got healed that way. But imagine, as she wanted to touch, Jesus turned and faced her and said, what do you want? And he said, I want to be healed. And then he says, go home. As you go, sleep. When you wake up, you will be fine. And he said, if I'm able to touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I'm able to touch his clothes, you will just feel material. That's all. Amen? Does God honor faith? Yes. Amen? Can you say from home, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And you touch his clothes and you are whole. Yes. Alright? Amen. Practically speaking, if I'm wearing white, don't touch me. I'm just joking. Amen. Or you are now given instruction to go another way. And let me just touch. Let me just touch. I remember one meeting. You know, the man of God had laid hands on everybody's head inside. And then I stepped out. It was an early morning meeting. Just hear the word of God, have hands laid on you, and then go to work or school and all of that. So I was outside, and then I met a woman carrying a baby and then rubbing her body on the car of the man of God. On your head. That happened inside. Next time, in security, I will call. Maybe trying to receive the car. Oh, I don't know. Amen? So, vital. Important. Now, all that we are saying is to strengthen your faith to receive. That's where all of that is going. You are paying attention to the instructions so that your faith will be strengthened enough to receive God's healing power in your direction. Amen? Amen? So it's not that God also will be mysterious about it, that he already knows the woman with the issue of blood has enough faith to be healed, but he will just turn it around. Then Jesus will just turn around and just say, what do you want? Say, you want to turn around? And then I say, go. Go another way and be healed. No. All God wants to do is to ensure that you have enough faith to be healed. That the person who needs to receive has enough faith to be healed. Amen? In Luke chapter 5, 17 to 26, as Jesus was teaching, the doctrine of the law by present and all of that, and what? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen? The power of the Lord was present to heal them. To heal them. God knew that they were there and they were sick, and as Jesus was teaching, his power was present to heal them. But who was recorded that God healed? Then you begin to read from verse 18. A man, bedridden, sick with palsy, his four friends carried him on the bed. They came to the meeting. He was filled up, jam-packed. They couldn't even enter. They couldn't enter through the door. How do we do this? Then they went to the roof, opened it up, and dropped him through the ceiling. And then Jesus saw, whoa! He saw the faith of his friends, not the man, bedridden. He saw the faith of his friends. So there's a lesson there. Your faith can help another person to receive healing. So, you just walk in casually, and say, I'm not sick. I don't need to miss that too today. Your faith can help another to receive healing. Hallelujah. Your faith can help another to receive healing. They took him in, and of course, Jesus, of course, because of those that were there, first of all said, your sins are forgiven. Oh, you are thinking in yourselves, which one is easier to say? To be forgiven or to say, take your bed and walk? I was just saying that so that you can know that the Son of Man has power on the earth to forgive sins. But, guy, be healed. Amen? Are you there? So I'll close here. You must be smart and willing enough to recognize how healing will come in the meeting. And this is not to put the responsibility on you. There's nothing that the minister will do. There's nothing that God will do. It just puts the responsibility on you. No. This is all to strengthen your faith. Be smart enough. Be willing enough to recognize how God wants to minister healing to you. Hallelujah. You know, you can go to another meeting and the man of God is going to use oil to minister to you to be healed. You know, you'll be smart enough to quickly recognize that oil is the point of contact today to receive healing. No, it's not about the oil. That in that meeting is about the oil. Amen. It's not about the oil. It's about whatever you want to say shall receive healing power. Are you there? I hope you understood what I just said. Hope I don't need a teaching series to undo what I've said now. I hope you understood what I just said. So you must be smart enough. Smart. Willing enough. Smart enough. In a meeting, you know that there will come a time that you will receive in that meeting.
Be attentive from the beginning. Some even get on the healing line and get distracted. So, prepare yourself, prepare your heart. I titled this Preparing to Receive from God, but I mean, it's elaborate. That is the title. I mean, talk of many things that we need to do before we come. Of course, spending time praying, getting your faith strengthened. But what we have addressed in today's teaching is your attentiveness, your alertness, and your readiness to receive in the meeting. Paying attention to words, paying attention to instructions, paying attention to how you'll be ministered to, and ensuring that at that point, you actually and truly receive what God is giving to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So I trust, Lord, that you will take advantage. The reason I wanted to do it since Sunday, but there was no time, and I'm doing it today, is so that we can have these to reflect, to pray, to think, to meditate, to speak, to prepare your heart, to strengthen your faith, so that the willing God, who is a healing God, will find faith. There will be a healing. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Lift your hands and thank him. Give him praise. Give him praise. Bless his name.